The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here if you wish. I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. God, we thank you for the revelation of your glory on the mountaintop. We ask that each of us gathered here would hear your words, your call to listen to you, and that in doing so, our own lives would be transfigured and would bear your love into the world. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We learn at a very young age that we are supposed to listen. We remind children as young as toddlers to listen to mom and dad, to listen to a story being read or instructions being given. As we get older, the idea of listening takes on more nuance. We're told that listening to one another is an important part of friendship. We're taught about active listening and what this entails. We're encouraged to listen to the voices of those who might be different from us, to listen for voices that aren't being heard. Listening isn't always easy in a world full of busyness and noise. So often what we say we're listening to, whether music or podcasts or news, really serves as background noise while we're doing something else. Yet compare this to the image of a family before the invention of television gathered around the radio listening to a radio program or new music from a favorite singer. But we don't have that kind of patience anymore. This erosion of the ability to listen with full attention has effects on our relationships. How many people long for their spouses to really listen to what they have to say? How frustrating is it when we feel as though even if people hear what we're saying, they're not really listening, just thinking ahead to what they want to say, or to whatever solution they want to offer? How many people long for someone, anyone, to listen to them? It is often a quite profound experience when someone listens really well to the things that we are saying. Some people only experience this kind of listening in therapy or spiritual direction, but it does not only have to happen in those settings. We all have the ability to listen to one another if we're willing to take the time to do so. And doing so is essential for the formation of real, meaningful relationships. With all of this in mind, we turn on this last Sunday of Epiphany to the account of Jesus' transfiguration on the mountaintop. Jesus' clothes turn dazzling white. His face shines. Moses and Elijah show up, and a voice booms from heaven. just like the one we heard at the beginning of the season of Epiphany, at Jesus' baptism. But in this case, the voice isn't addressing Jesus himself, it's addressing his disciples, Peter, James, and John, who are gathered with him there. "This is my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." This is the whole of the message given from God on the mountain that day. As opposed to the giving of 10 commandments when Moses was on the mountain, in this case, there is just one instruction. Listen to Jesus. The two men who appear with Jesus, Moses and Elijah, each had their own encounters with God on a mountain, but they show up in the Transfiguration story for another reason as well. These two figures from the history of Israel represent two of the ways that the people have been called to listen to God, through the law and through the prophets. The giving of the law to Moses was the establishment of a covenant between God and the Israelites, that if they would listen to God's commandments and follow them, they would remain God's chosen people. And when the people stopped listening and strayed from the law, the prophets of Israel, like Elijah, spoke God's word to them anew, inviting and encouraging them to listen and obey once more, to return to the covenant. We will hear this story told through our Eucharistic prayer this morning, of God's continual attempts to reach out to his people, that they might listen and be faithful to their relationship with God. As the prayer reads, "Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law." It's a story of God's continual invitation to listen, reaching out again and again until the time came for a new approach. We hear about this as the Eucharistic prayer continues. "In the fullness of time, you sent your only son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace." In the person of Jesus Christ, God was inviting us into a relationship in a new way, no longer based on listening as a form of obedience, but in coming to dwell among us, God invites us to listen as we would in a relationship with someone we love. Not just hearing and obeying, but truly listening. This is what God is inviting all of us to do when the voice booms from heaven on the mountain that day. God speaks to those disciples present and all who are to come, inviting them, inviting us, to a different kind of listening, the listening that happens in a relationship with someone you love. But Peter, James, and John, even these men who knew and loved Jesus, missed the message because of their fear over the voice booming from heaven. They fell to the ground afraid. But then, in a simple action that reveals so much more about the mystery of the incarnation than a stack of theology books could describe, Jesus comes over to them, reaches out, and touches them. "Get up," he said, "and do not be afraid." In their fear of the glorious revelation of God on the mountain, they couldn't take in the message, but here, in this gentle act from the one they know and love, they understand. This is what the story of Jesus is about. Our confusion or our fear or our unwillingness to listen keeps us from understanding at times when instruction comes through laws and decrees, but coming from someone we know and love, it's quite different. There's a powerful truth in this gospel story that even a booming voice from the heavens can't communicate as clearly as the presence of a beloved friend. There are lessons in this story about how we are to communicate the good news of God's love. Many of us may have seen people try to use this gospel as a rule book saying, "Well, Jesus says," or, "Well, Jesus doesn't want you to," as a way of regulating our behavior. Jesus wasn't really a rule book kind of guy. In fact, that's what kept getting him into trouble with the religious authorities at his time. Jesus didn't spend his time with his disciples imparting rule after rule. He spent time with them sitting around, sharing meals, and telling stories. There were, of course, a couple of rules that Jesus imparted to his followers, and the rules he did instruct his followers about had to do with pretty much one thing: love. His rules sounded something like this: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And later, love one another as I have loved you." Listening to Jesus and obeying isn't about narrowly prescribed behaviors. It's about relationships, about making sure that everything we do is done in love. The few rules that Jesus gives us challenge us to recognize that having love as the motivating force for our actions is so much more important than being sure we've done everything right. Listening to Jesus involves recognizing the love that permeated everything that he did and allowing ourselves to be transformed so that love permeates our every action as well. Listening to Jesus is to try to live with the same love for God and for other people that he had. We have examples of what this looks like through the stories in the Gospels. Not just the ones Jesus tells, but also stories about what Jesus does, how he interacts with others, what he seems to value. We learn from the Gospels what love looks like. Listening to Jesus is also an important part of a life of prayer, something we participate in not because we have to, but because we choose to cultivate our relationship with the living God, to spend time in God's presence. There might be much we need to say in times of prayer, but we're also called to listen, to explore what Jesus is saying to us and allow ourselves to be loved by him. Listening to Jesus becomes a part of how we go about our everyday lives, learning to look and listen for Jesus in every single person we meet, to recognize how Jesus is calling each and every one of us to follow his example and live the way that he did. We begin to recognize in ordinary encounters the many opportunities to listen to Jesus, to hear his invitation and know him better, to know how he loves, and to learn to love that way ourselves. Just as Jesus was transfigured in the light of God's love that day on the mountain, so we can find our own lives transfigured by that same love through a relationship with Jesus. May we all experience the light of God's love through the miracle of the Transfiguration this day and bear the beams of this love back into the world. Amen.